months, but tonight we want to be looking at two verses, verses 18 and 19. So we're looking at 1 John 5, 18 and 19. Tonight, if we can read the whole chapter down to verse 19, so that's not the whole chapter, is it? That's nearly the whole chapter, but if we can read those verses together from verse 1 down to verse 19. Does anybody need the heater on? No? Just in case. Don't want to hear later on, oh, they got a heater and they're too miserable to turn it on. Okay, that's fine. Let's read starting in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Amen. Let's pray now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity, Lord, to read the Word of God together. We thank you for the singing of the hymns of the faith. And Lord, as we've sung tonight, how majestic is thy name. Lord, when we look up into the heavens tonight as we leave this place, we will know once again that great truth. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So Lord, we praise you, we bless you. We ask you would bless our time now in your word. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what we haven't done for a little while is done some memory verses, have we? So let's review them. Those of you who can remember them, what the reference is and what the verses are. But the first one we'll start with here in 1 John, because we've already read it, so that should refresh our minds, our memories. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. And if you're not sure, you'll be able to read it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. All right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. All right, I've given you two. What's some more? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah, we've still got some more. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, I think. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. All right, I think there's one more. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you haven't got them yet, you know how you get them? Repetition, repetition, repetition. And you know how you do repetition? Discipline, discipline, discipline. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. And now, particularly as John closes out this book of 1 John, he gives us a reminder of, again, of some of the things that we know. Some of the things that we know. We've said already there are over 30 times in this book of 1 John that John talks about things that we can know. The idea is to have positive, absolute knowledge. Christianity is not a guess so, hope so, I've got my fingers crossed so. It's not supposed to be anyway. We're supposed to know some things with an absolute and a positive way. And so in verse 18 and 19, we see again some things that we know, some things we are absolutely sure of. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, this is the second time in this letter to 1 John that John has dealt with this topic. Sinneth not. All right, first of all, he talks about those who are born of God. Now, if someone is not born of God, they will and can have no victory over sin. It's just as simple as that. Sometimes I think some people who profess to be Christians and they're so constantly struggling and they never seem to get any victory, I would question whether they are even born of God. But that aside, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And the idea is in this perfect continuous tense. It's the idea of not living a life which is continually sinning or having a habit of life of sin. Now, we've said this before as we looked at chapter 3, and maybe just turn there for a moment. Chapter 3, just to refresh our memories about what John said there, something very similar. But in chapter 3, verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Again, this idea of this habit of life continuing in sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And if we are truly abiding in the Lord, then our lives will reflect that and we will not be in this constant state of sinning. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, this ongoing life of sin. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. There it is again. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. All right, John says very clearly there, a person who is a true believer, someone who has been born of God, they cannot, perfect tense, continue in an habitual life of sin. It's impossible. It's not just difficult. It's impossible to do. You cannot, as a believer, continue in a life of sin. God will not allow it. He will not allow. We know that God has promised, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. He will not allow ongoing disobedience. He will not allow it. He will deal with that in one form or another. And so again, as we look at this, he says back there in verse 18 in chapter 5, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. In chapter 3 he says, because his seed remains in him. The Spirit of God indwelling the believer will not allow us to go on and on and on in sin. Sin bothers a true child of God. It bothers them. It causes them grief at times. They feel guilty. They have no joy, and it's written all over them. Why? Because you cannot sin. You cannot sin as a believer and just walk around and say, oh, this is so good. You know, I'm just having a big life of sin here, and it's so exciting, and I'm just loving every minute of it. No, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. If you're truly born of God, whosoever born of God cannot walk around like that. It cannot happen. There will be no joy. There will be the chastening hand of God. And we know that Hebrews tells us that no chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous. Right? And so if someone were to say to me, I'm a Christian and they're living in constant sin and they're just laughing and having a fun time and just saying, well, I'm a Christian and it doesn't bother me, I'm doing this and that. And my comment to them is one of two things. You need to just batten the hatches because God's about to deal with you. Or number two, you're not even a true Christian with the attitude. And so the true believer, that one who is born of God, just can't do it. It bothers them. And they know they're not doing right. And they struggle with it. And they know they should be doing right. And the battle rages, doesn't it? It goes on and backwards and forwards till we come to that place where we say, Lord, I've sinned. Please forgive me. Fellowship's restored. The joy has returned. And we say, my, this Christian life is so good. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. The word keepeth has this idea of takes care of, guards, keeps his eye on, observes very attentively. I'm born of God. I don't want to sin. I no longer have a desire to sin habitually. I am tempted to sin. The world allures me towards sin. My own flesh is wanting to just dabble a little bit in sin. Not a lot. Not a lot. I know a lot's not good. But my flesh says a little bit is good. And that'll be harmless. No, when we're born of God and we're truly begotten of God, then we have to take care. We take care. We're on guard of those things that are going to come and pull us away. Toucheth us, toucheth not the wicked one. But he keepeth himself. You think about it, not in the sense we keep ourselves saved. Let's make that clear tonight. If you're not already sure of that, then let's make that clear. We do not keep ourselves saved. We do not save ourselves, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. No more are we kept saved by what we do as a believer. That does not keep us saved. There's a danger that as a Christian, I have this little set of rules, and I live by that set of rules, and I think that that's keeping me saved. The devil's deceived me. I've got my own little standards that I live up to, and therefore that'll get me right with God. He'll be pleased with that. No, we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. That doesn't allow us to have a little system whereby we tick the boxes. So we don't. When John says here, whosoever born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. He's not saying keeps himself saved, but what he is saying, I believe, is this: keeps himself in right fellowship with God. keeps himself, makes sure that he's got his eye on things, makes sure that he's being very careful about how he lives. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, what does Paul say there? Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. He keepeth himself. He's working out his salvation. You say, that means he's working to get saved. No, to keep saved. No, the next verse says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, I don't work to keep saved. I work because my faith demands that I work. You remember what James said? A man says, I have works and you have faith. James says, you show me your faith without your works. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. And so there's this idea of, well, you know, I'm saved now, I can live how I like. That's not Bible. That's inviting God's chastening. The other side is, you know, I'm sinless now. I'm sinless because I'm in the Lord. That's not biblical. No, there's a balance in all this. I'm saved by grace and I'm kept by grace. I'm kept saved by grace. But now I'm to keep myself in the Lord. You have a look at some other thoughts there. Chapter 3, verse 22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Same thing. We keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing. We keep ourselves. What is one way we keep ourselves? By keeping his commandments. And I know we've spoken about this, and we will till the Lord comes. We're under grace, brother. Not grace, brothers. We're under grace, brother. We're under grace. And that is a license, so-called, to do what you like, it seems, when you look at some people's lives or how they live. It is true we are under grace. But it is also true that Adam was under grace. And Noah was under grace. And Moses was under grace. And the apostles were under grace. Paul was under grace. And we are under grace when it comes to salvation. For by grace are you saved. But God said to Adam, I've got a commandment here that you must obey. He said to Abraham, I've got commandments and laws and statutes which I expect you to obey. Moses, I've got some commandments and some laws here and I expect you to live by them. And the Lord Jesus said, here's what it is. If you love me, you keep my commandments. But we're under grace. That's right. We're saved by grace. And now by the grace of God, we are to do what? Keep his commandments. Keep them. Take care and observe that we are obedient to what God asks us to do. You have a look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we see something else, some other area, another area where we are to keep ourselves. You say, it's all of God. That's true, it's all of God. And then we do our part, amen. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What's that? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to what? Keep himself unspotted from the world. God says we are to observe very carefully, we are to walk very circumspectly, and we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. We're to walk in such a way that we don't have the little spots of the world hanging off of us, if I can put it that way. We're to keep ourselves unspotted. We're to keep, what are we supposed to do? Peter says this when he quotes the Old Testament, be ye holy as I am holy. He says, be ye holy for I'm holy, ye be holy too. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. See, how do you do that? By the grace of God. By the enabling of the Spirit of God. We know in Galatians where Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Keep yourselves unspotted. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. Some things that we are to keep, to guard, observe very carefully, keep our eye on things. Chapter 5, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Sometimes I wish that verse was just a little bit different. And it said this, lay hands suddenly on men. It doesn't say that, so that's good. But lay hands suddenly on no man. Be partakers of other men's sins. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. Notice what it says. Keep thyself what? Pure. Keep. Keep thyself pure. John said, what? That we keepeth himself. In what manner? He keeps himself unspotted from the world. He keeps himself pure before the Lord. We are to keep ourselves. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's testimony in 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us what he has, shall we say, kept. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul, don't you mean that God's done it all? Yeah, I mean that too. He said to the church at Corinth, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I labored more than them all, but only by the grace of God. But he could also say this, I have kept myself. I have been very careful. I have guarded myself, lest I myself become a stowaway. I've been very careful in keeping myself. So now at the end of my life, I can say I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. That should be the goal of every one of us. Amen. We come back to John and chapter 5, verse 18, there in 1 John. So two things so far. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Number two, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And number three in this verse, that wicked one toucheth him not. All right, the wicked one, speaking of Satan, of the devil, he toucheth him not. Now, the word toucheth is not this idea of I've just touched the pulpit, or I just touched someone. That's not the idea here. The idea here is to grasp and lay hold of. All right? It's different. It's not touching is legitimate, but in this context, in this sense, the idea of touching is to grasp and lay hold of, and Satan cannot grasp or lay hold of us. There are many things that he can do to affect our lives. He can tempt us, as we know he did with the Lord Jesus. He can deceive us. His messengers come as angels of light and deceive us. He can cause us to get depressed. He can oppress us. He can do a whole lot of things, but he cannot get hold of us and keep us. He cannot do that. He cannot do it. He cannot, as we would say, get us in his clutches again. That's where we were before we were born of God. But now we are born of God and the devil cannot hold on to us anymore. He can do all those other things that we've spoken about. And so John says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one cannot get a hold of him again. He can cause him all sorts of trouble, but he cannot get a hold of him. And then in verse 19, John says this, and we know that we are of God. He keeps repeating this thought, doesn't he? He keeps repeating, we know about God. We know we have eternal life. We know these things, and we know that we are of God. We know that we are. We belong to him. Paul said, we are bought with a price. We know that we are of God. We know that we didn't save ourselves. We know that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We know all that. And it's all because of what God has done. We are who we are and what we are because of what God has done for us and in us. We know that we are of God. I don't stand here tonight and say, look at all I've done. Oh, yeah, I did some study here and I did this and I did that. Man, look at that. Look what I've done. No. In the context of this passage, that is not the case. You say, didn't Paul say, I fought a good fight? I've kept it. You know, yeah, that's true in a different context. We know that we are of God. Remember Ephesians 2:10. We like verses 8 and 9, but verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. We're of God. If we are a true child of God, if we've been born of God, we are of God and we know it. Amen? We know it. We're not grasping on the straws tonight. We're not hoping that this is all real. Hope it's going to be true one day. No, we know we're of God. We know it. This, again, word says what? We are absolutely positive. We have knowledge that is absolute. There's no question in my mind that I'm of God. We know that. We know that we are of God. In contrast to the world, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Those who have been born of God, they're of God, but the rest are lying in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. And the world in this sense, life without God, that's the world. That's the world out there. It's life without God. That's why earlier on in chapter 2, when John wrote there, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world lies in wickedness. So God says, don't love it. Remember what James said? That we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. The world's philosophies, the world's approach to life, everything that the world represents is anti-God. And we keep ourselves away from that. Keep ourselves away from the attitudes and the philosophies of life. Why? Because it's all wickedness. It's anti-God. We could look at many verses that tell us that. Ephesians tells us that. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this world. Children of disobedience. That's wickedness out there. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how it's portrayed in the days of Noah. The thoughts and intents of the heart of men were evil only. That's the world. The world lies in wickedness. And you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, as it was in the days of Noah, when the Lord Jesus comes back, it'll be exactly the same. The whole world lies in wickedness, and it always has. This is not some new teaching that John was introducing up till the time of John. This was true up to our day. Today, it is still true. The whole world lies in wickedness. Why would we want to have a part of it? Why would we want to adopt some of the philosophies? There should be a very clear line between us as believers and the world. People should be in no doubt where we stand on this whole matter. The world lies in wickedness. We are of God. We've been born of God. We've been bought with a price, and our lives ought to reflect that. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to feel at home in this old world. Remember what the hymn writer said. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me with heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. How can we feel at home in that which John described as lying in wickedness? There's something badly wrong if we feel at home in this old world. We're here, the Lord Jesus prayed, didn't he? He said, I pray, Father, that you don't take them out of the world. He said, I do pray you keep them from the world. Why? Because the world lies in wickedness. Should be no attraction there for the child of God walking with God. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless you for tonight. And once again, Lord, the great a privilege of opening the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for 1 John, Lord. And we thank you for the marvelous things that we can know, Lord. We're not here tonight telling fairy stories with our fingers crossed, hoping something might come true one day. As John said, we know that if we're born of God, we sin not. We know that we are of God. We know that the world lies in wickedness. We know that Satan cannot clutch us again and get a hold of us and keep us in his clutches. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Why? Because we're of God. So, Father, we thank you for that tonight. We thank you for being with us. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings and the challenges come to our heart. Lord, as we think on these things, Lord, help us to think about what are we keeping ourselves from? Anything at all. We're to keep ourselves unspotted. We are to keep ourselves, as John said, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Lord, maybe that would be our testimony. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.